Down to Brass Tacks. Good afternoon. We are going until 1 p.m. We have 15 more minutes with you. Next caller, you're on the air. Good afternoon. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Are you there? Okay. Good afternoon. I have a couple messages that I wanted to go back to, one of which spoke to love not being a commodity, and the two shouldn't be used in the same. That one says love has little value. Another one says breaking the law is breaking the law. Don't care. Interesting. Write better, folks, so that I can read these things pretty decent as they come out easily. Another person here, this is a young person. I read this just 2 seconds ago. Good afternoon, Ms. Lisa Gale. It's sad in Barbados that we continue to send home workers from government and from the private sector workforce. Still, there are many young people in Barbados like myself who have been unemployed for the past 2 years. So when we continue to send, and we send, and send me, what will happen to many young men and women? There has to be a better way. And we do have a high level of youth unemployment that is plaguing us. Socio-economical elements are impacting on us in a serious way. And it's something that I'm hoping that we can really address this. I heard figures as high as up to 25% youth unemployment. I heard someone mention a higher number, but the last official number I heard was that up to that high level. It's not easy. And I continue to encourage people to continue to read and to still try to find different ways in which they can find opportunities, go by a neighbor, do some volunteering, do those things in the meantime before you find that level of employment. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good afternoon. You're on the air.
Good afternoon.
Yes, sir. How are you doing?
Good for now. Listen, I'm a former working transport boy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's somebody from the transport boy authority coming by stamp on the evening, right?
Mm-hmm.
Instead of inspect the car, the bus at 5 o'clock, the driver's bringing the bus at 5 o'clock to pick up money to left at 5 o'clock, which is wrong. You should be there about 10 minutes before your time or 15 minutes before your time.
Loading. Yes.
So at 5 o'clock, you should just go ahead.
Yes, you can't start to load a bus that's going to be holding 40 people at 5 o'clock for it to leave at 5 o'clock. That's not humanly possible.
Right. Simple as that.
Good point. I think we could encourage our drivers. I don't know if they're listening to Down to Brass Tacks or even the inspectors to do a little bit more monitoring, because people, especially if somebody's walking slow and they're at the back of the line, you don't expect to drive off and leave them at 5:02 or 5:03 when you only just started loading at 5 o'clock. So valid point, sir. Thank you so much. Thank you for sharing that. Thank you so much for sharing that information. We have another WhatsApper here says that how come I don't hear you speaking with the same passion with regards to politicians who break the law? Are they not breaking the law? What's the difference, ma'am? Permit me, please, to share my opinion. And let me say from the outset that I believe no one should break the law. However, in the case of the squatters, it seems that these persons are usually for themselves and their families with shelter. On the other hand, you have persons who break the law in order to enrich themselves with millions of dollars, all at the expense of taxpayers. So while they're both lawbreakers, they're several poles apart. Yes. And then another one here, this person actually has continued. You really moved me to respond as I listened to your comments with regards to the squatters in the courts. Lawyers litigate on behalf of their clients, and plea bargaining is often a part of doing so. So hence, leniency can and does come into play. It happens even in cases of murder. So my question to you is, why can't squatters be treated in the like manner? Remember, the land is being sold to them. Bargain price, less time in prison. Thank you for your contribution on that one. And then we have this other one, which I wanted to read to you. It says that love has little to no value in a monetary system, and love is infinite, and money is a limited man-made commodity. And then Another person here who's talking about the dump, they said that on different days they do get different smells, and they're glad that Mr. Johnson would have visited the spot, but they have other experiences, and they're sure that Mr. Johnson's intentions were noble. Okay, I would stop there on the WhatsApps. I think those are several others I read there. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You are on the air. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, ma'am.
Good afternoon, sir. Doing well, thanks.
Listen, I spoke of this matter before, this dart or black tint under the vehicles. Tom Adams had banned that dark tint because people are committing crimes and using them as escape vehicles. And that is bad. That was bad for you probably last 6 years or so. I wonder when the police can do something about that. Also, these nuisance horns, these ZR minibuses have. Things need to be done about that. There are two other things which I want to talk about, but I'll leave that for another time. But those two things are the most
pressing. The dark tint and the, what's the second one?
The
nuisance horns. Oh, you called me last week, right?
Yes.
And... And you are still seeing them?
Yeah, I'm still seeing this dark tint. Even commercial vehicles having that dark tint now.
And maybe the law has been relaxed and is.
Well, I haven't heard anything about it. But I wish the police would come and say something about it.
Okay.
And another thing I've noticed too, some vehicles have a number plate light at the back and at the front. Rare and different, which are well illuminated, beautiful. Mm-hmm. And you got some that fade in. Number plates are fading. Nobody ain't doing nothing about that yet. But why you understand this? Why we have to wait until things reach crisis point to do something about it?
I guess. Thank you so much. I think that people, the policing of those matters. Call for the officers at the licensing authority to really do, in conjunction with the Royal Barbados Police Force. I think the policing of that is something that it takes a lot of personnel, and then you have to follow through to ensure that the person gets a replacement, etc. So it is something that they could beef up. I want to read a quick WhatsApp here. A person says, please let Barbadians know that there will be a free reading clinic at the Barbados Community College for boys who are entering secondary school in September but are underperforming in reading. So that is one, a free reading clinic at the BCC for boys who are entering secondary school. This is Down to Brass Tacks. We have another caller. You're on the air.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. First Hi, lady Lisa. For the day. How are you doing?
Yeah, this second time I'm calling you. A question was asked. I remember it gone through the window already. But my question is, I thought I asked you before, who is Barbados' landlord? Since we were brought here and given, well, our forefathers are given this land.
You're answering the question landlord? Or you're asking the question?
I'm asking it. Maybe I can answer it.
We refer to it as Crown Land. So the government of Barbados is the one who owns the lands that are not owned by private persons.
No, we need to go into that history. It wasn't originally ours, not by documentation, but Africans were here before or after the Caribs and those people. So it comes to Barbados. Who is Barbados' landlord? To whom we pay all of this rent? Are we paying it to the right person or who?
So the my answer didn't help you then.
The answer didn't help you?
My answer didn't help you.
You came along just like me. You came along and found Barbados and you call yourself Barbadians. But then if we are Barbadians, how can we look to our forefathers for anything that they have if they were Africans?
Okay.
Maybe another time I'll call and discuss it, or you could carry it on next time you're on. I'll see if you get any response. That's all right.
But let us engage.
I was looking at the time.
Time ain't gone yet. You still have a couple minutes. The issue, you're asking a question.
Yes.
Which I thought I kind of answered. You asked. Who is our landlord?
Yes, who is?
And when we became independent, our government owned the Barbados and the Crown, which we refer to because, you know, we are still, we still have certain allegiances to the monarchy, based on us still having a governor general, etc. We refer to these things as Crown. The properties, if not vested under the National Housing Corporation, they would belong to private landowners. And out of that, then the private landowners can sell any piece of property that they own to anybody else. Those are the only two. We have private landowners, and then we have the Crown.
I'm still thinking that it goes further than that.
Right, and I said I want you to talk it through. Thinking aloud. Share with me what is on your mind.
What's on my mind is, of course, Barbados is the landlord, but we came, the Africans came as slaves and found other inhabitants here who didn't do suicide, were murdered, right? So some of them left, right? Some of them left. So who owned the land at the time that Barbados could say, the government of Barbados could say, purchase it from these people? So therefore, the Barbadians would now become the landlords. I mean, the way how things are running. Mm-hmm. One government, two or three, or one on exchange. It is still the same thing. Who are we paying our taxes to? Is there somebody behind the dark that we don't see, like Charlie's Angels? We only hear the voice, but we don't see anybody? Mm-hmm. So I would need somebody who is much older than I. He would probably be like 100 or more, because I'm 75 and moving on. Somebody would have to come up with the answer. I think so and so and so. Maybe I can understand the thing, but right now I don't understand it. Who is Barbados' landlord? I mean, lots of people acquire land that was given to them by the plantation as workers on the plantation. At a point in time, some got taken back. My parents' own got taken back, right? Mm-hmm. My mother had and my father had. And that was reclaimed. So who really and truly is the landlord? We need to go into our history, you know. We only got a history that we were taught by the slave masters. And there are lots of people who don't want you to talk about yesterday and our slavery. So we are going, if I was coming up the road by you, and the last night open, my purse was down by the street lamps, right? Mm-hmm. The street lights. Mm-hmm. And when I got by you, I don't have my purse. Where do I go to look for my purse? Right back by the street. That's the last place I opened my purse. So we need to go back there. All this political talk ain't carrying us anywhere. A line has been laid for us, a tight rope, in fact. And we got to walk it. You don't divert one way or the next. You don't look back, or you're going to fall off or get shake off, as in boxing. They could shake you off the rope, especially a woman, and that hurts real bad.
This capitalist system that we live in is one of those. I mean, I remember just a couple of months ago when we were doing the preparation for the elections, when we had a discussion on land usage and, you know, what the particular parties were going to come with, what were some of their policies. And one of the comparisons with Barbados, from very early we had legislation that did not permit, I mean, that's why we had a lot of squatters, we had legislation that did not permit persons to just go and, you know, make up house, etc. Unlike Trinidad and Tobago was one of the examples when I was doing my research, where they could, actually it was Dennis, we had a conversation about it as well, they could just go and put up a house anywhere.
Yeah.
And there was no, they were not regarded as squatters, and hence the two pieces of legislation, one in Barbados, the even before the 1982 Tenant Freeholdings Act, that, you know, you can't just own, non-nationals can't just own a piece of property in, there are about four of the territories, St. Lucia being one, Grenada another, Dominica, and the others that are now benefiting from the CIP. Okay. And a lot of that has to do with, it's called Alien Land Holdings Act, where you cannot, from out of, which is very different from Barbados, as we always used to say in the 90s and the early 2000s, all of these foreigners, people were saying, are coming and taking, buying up all the land or whatever. But in those countries, you could only lease. You couldn't own a property, and a lot of it was, it was interesting reading about it, because it really shared about the difference of how the countries were run in the day and how legislation was mindfully, you know, the strategy was very different in one country vis-a-vis another. And now those countries are now benefiting significantly from the CIP, because non-nationals want to come and own a piece, and they have to pay a large and hefty sum to come to the country, to come to those countries. Whereas Barbados, because people own the land just normal, you can come and own a piece of land. That piece of legislation or that strategy can't be used to enhance our reserves in any form or fashion because the legislation already dictates that a non-national can easily purchase. Very different. So it is how we how our laws have been crafted and what is important for our leaders at that time that impacts sometimes generations to come. I can hear the music. It has been my pleasure. My name is Lisa Gale, and today was the 12th of July, and it has been my pleasure. I had Dennis Johnson sharing the room with me, and at some points, you know, you heard his voice. He could not help. He just could not help. So have a wonderful afternoon.